Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Steve invites you to check out KPP Financial's Balanced Income Program. This is a fully diversified program designed to reduce risk from any one stock, bond, or sector. And as with all of our programs, one or more of KPP Financial principals invest their money right alongside their clients, which we call parallel investing. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, or send Steve a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Thursday, March 10th, 2016. Above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is an open discussion about managing your money. We work together to help you make the best possible choices you can, protecting and trying to grow your money. That's what they're all about. Give you some information. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime. You can ask any question you want, as long as it's financial. You can also send me a note. You can click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin at investtalk.com. That's an email. And you can send it direct to me if you want to ask a more complex question or several questions at the same time. You can send us an email. Now, as we're about a month from tax filing deadline, and I just hate that. I understand it's going on the weekend, so I think we get till the 18th or something, April 18th this year. So everybody wants the deductions they didn't take last year. We all want to maybe try to do something to try to protect our money and try not to give. Well, you know, I don't mind paying taxes, but you want to pay what you owe. You don't want to overpay. And you want to take advantage of anything you can. So, you know, I thought maybe we should bring up an investment vehicle that does have tax advantages built into it already. And those are REITs, real estate investment trusts. You know, they can help you properly diversify your portfolio as well as provide some tax advantages. Now, the tax advantage of a REIT is a little bit different. A REIT, or real estate investment trust, is a tax designation for a corporate entity investing in real estate. REITs are required to distribute 90% of their taxable income into the hands of investors via a dividend. And these distributions are only taxed once. Unlike a regular corporate dividend, there's corporate taxes due on that. Then they pay the dividend. Then you have to pay taxes on it. In a REIT, there is no corporate taxes. As long as they pay 90% of it to you in the form of a dividend to the shareholder, and they're invested in REITs. 90% of the income has to be passed. That's the key. Okay. And just so you know, they had to have 75% of the assets invested in real estate, mortgage loans, shares and other REITs, cash or government securities. 75% have to be invested that way. It must derive at least 75% of its gross income from rents, mortgage interest, or gains from sale of real estate. And at least 95% must come from these sources, together with dividends, interest, and gains over security sales. So REITs, you know, you can utilize them in your portfolio to expose yourself to the real estate market. And there's various parts of the real estate market that you can take part in. So they're pretty good. And of course, they work best coming out of recession when properties are starting to go. And normally coming out of a recession, interest rates are very low. Of course, with the Fed involved with pushing rates down to zero, and every sovereign bank in the world trying to go negative. I mean, it's really messed up the whole system that you can say, well, this is what it is, and historically, this is what it does. It's messed up. History is not necessarily going to repeat like it used to, because the government's involved much more in interest rates than they should be, and that they have in the past, at the very least. So do you have a question about REITs? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's take on a question right now.
Yeah, I have a question on, you know, I've been hearing about the inevitable rise in interest rates for quite some time now. And, you know, with interest rates going up, the expectation is that bond prices will fall. And my question is, you know, what does someone do if they have 40% of their, you know, asset allocation in bonds and bond funds? Do you just recommend short duration bond funds, or would you prefer CDs, or what other options are available?
Okay, and yeah, everybody's predicting rates to go up, and including myself. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't want to pull any punches. I've said that for several years, and they have not. But I'm basing it on historical norms, and we're not at historical norms because the federal government is so involved, not only our government, but every government, so involved in pushing the rates around. But you can do other things. If interest rates do start to rise, there's other things. You can get a floating rate bond where the rate floats. You can keep short duration bonds. You can buy TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds, if inflation starts to pick up. And you can buy, of course, CDs and everything else. Those are very, very safe. But there's things you can do if you want to be conservative. You don't have to be, you know, in bonds. I don't really care for bond funds, as you know. I've talked about it a lot. I wouldn't mind having bond funds if interest rates were really high. Then I would be okay with it. But since interest rates are very, very low, I'd rather have you see you buy the bonds. I like bonds. You know, I buy them, hold them maturity, get your money back, and get whatever yield you get. But, you know, there's a couple things you can do, and those are the floating rate bonds, TIPS, and keep your maturity short. On the bond, if you buy a bond fund, keep the maturity short. Of course, you won't make a lot of money, but, you know, it's much safer than the market. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4277. Key questions you should ask yourself when you're making a fund part of your portfolio, a mutual fund. I'm not going to go through all seven. Some are too obvious, but we'll go through a few of them. How to pick the right mutual fund for you. That's our main talking point. A new EU QE, new European quantitative easing announced today by the ECB, European Central Bank. And it was pretty massive. We'll talk about that. But it didn't really do a lot to the market, for the market. What are the technicals telling us? What are the fundamentals telling us right now about our market, our stock market? Technicals meaning the charts. Fundamentals meaning the earnings and growth, sales, and all that stuff of the companies. What are those two things telling us right now about the market? And how about where to retire? You know, everybody wants to know, where should I retire? Well, I'm going to give you some facts. You see all these lists, retire here, retire there, this is the best place to retire. Well, let's put all that aside. I've even gone through those lists here. But let's talk about what really, really is happening with retired people. Let's talk about the facts. And if I get to it, I hope to get to it, I really would like to talk about, the problems that Portugal is having that no one's really talking about or writing about or discussing, which may be the next Greece. I think we should talk about that. Now, let's talk about the market today. The Dow was down 5, the Nasdaq was down 12, and the S&P was flat. Now, the market was up pretty good at the opening, then down pretty good after a couple, 3 hours, and this is what we ended up, virtually flat. So not a lot going on in the market today. Why? Well, the EU announced a big new QE, and that made everybody feel good about themselves for about an hour. Hour and a half. Then oil prices took a dive, and that dragged down stocks. At least that's what everybody's speculating out there. How about the market just doesn't have a really good catalyst to go one way or another? How about that? I think that's more normal. But that's what happened today. So it's not a very good day. It was not. And we've had, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of an up market trying to recoup from the pretty steep fall in January, and now last couple 3 days kind of hitting some headwinds here, which is not unusual. We tend to think of risk as a bad thing, risk, but in the world of investing, risk is linked to performance. So you got to understand the risks of your investment portfolio and the risks that you're comfortable taking. What are those risks? What is your personal tolerance for risk? You can use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. It takes about 3 minutes. It's really quick. And it's in the blue box right on the front page of investtalk.com. /888-99-CHART. Let's talk to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. Good evening. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it.
I wanted to know. Yes, thanks for taking the call. I wanted to know about ticker symbol RCII. Got a little beat up this year in the beginning of the year. From what I'm reading, since February 1st. It looked like it might have been the last month or so in a slow upward trend. I mean, that was the case for a lot of stocks. But is there any value at this level? Is there any reason to pick this stock up as it will make money in the future, perhaps?
It looks like it's going to do well. It made $2.03 in 2015. And this year, it's going to make $1.96 per share. Then it's going to make $2.04 next year. And sales have grown in the flat to low single digits. So there's not a lot of excitement there. But I'll say this. The stock is fairly inexpensive. It's cheap now. I mean, if you recall me at last year at $32 a share, it's not very cheap. And that's where that was a high made in May last year. And then it went to a low about $10 a share. And now it's at $13.55 or so. The one little red flag, James, I see here, looks really solid, 2.4% dividend, very high cash flow, decent return on equity, not great. And the PE, at a $13 stock, going to make $2, there's 6 PE. How can you go wrong? This is where the little red flag is. They have a lot of debt. They have a lot of debt. So the question is why do they have all that debt and how they're going to address it? Do they have the cash flow to support the debt? Is there a danger that they have to refinance that debt and won't be able to? That's the only area, James, I see as a little red flag on this REIT. Otherwise, it looks like a very good value bet, but it's cheap. Okay?
And like you said, you would advise against it last year when it was at the $32 range. Do you see it testing those highs again this year, perhaps?
I think it can at least get up to, I'm going to say it's going to at least probably get up to $20 to $24 this year. And that's almost a double from here. So that's a huge move. I think it could do that. Because if it give you just a 10 PE, it's a $20 stock. Right? Just a 10 PE. That's pretty reasonable. That means I like the deep value aspect of this stock. I do. I think it's a good bet. James, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Mac in Los Cabos. How you doing, Max?
Very well, thanks. Love the show.
Thank you.
Calling about FCX, Freeport MacMoran. I bought the stock. Mm-hmm. And I was down about 65% in this thing, and now I'm only down 18%. And I feel like a winner. I'm thinking about getting out. And my original plan was this would be a long term hold, or a couple years anyway. Mm-hmm. And I know that's been one of my problems. I don't stick with my plan, but it went from, you know, looking pretty good to people talking about it going bankrupt within just the last 6 months. To me, it was looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
FIFA MacMoran, everybody, engaged in exploration development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, North and South America. And, of course, all the miners, as you know, Mac, were getting crushed. I have 5 of these kinds of stocks. And I sold half of one position a week or two ago because I felt that maybe it's time to take a little profit on some of these things. And some of them I'm still below, just like you are. Don't misunderstand me. But I kept buying them because I think that there was very deep value. This thing is going to make 78 cents next year per share, and that means it's only about a 12 or 13 PE. So it's not necessarily expensive. But I see no harm in taking a little bit off the table right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I sell it all, Mac, but I take some off the table. Okay? Appreciate the call. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, everybody. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. So whatever question you have, as long as it's financial, I'll be happy to talk about it. What is the right mutual fund for you? How do you determine what you want? Well, here's a few rules that you can apply. One is, what kind of fund do you want? Do you want an actively managed fund? Or do you want a fund that just tracks the index or an index or several indexes? actively manage or an index fund. You have to decide what you want to be, because that goes to what kind of investor you want to be. And everybody's been, you know, the last, since 2009, everybody's been beating the drum on how good index funds are. Index funds are great when the market's moving up. They aren't so good when the market moves sideways or down, and that's when everybody gets tired of them, and now you hear about everybody how bad they are. That's not how you should look at it. Long-term, index funds are fine. But do you want to actively manage fund? Okay, you have to decide that. Then, what you really want to know is who's running the fund. Who is the fund manager? What is their track record? Now, if you're talking about an index fund, you don't really care. All you want then is the cheapest mutual fund, index fund out there, or the cheapest index ETF fund out there that charges you the least amount, because they're tracking an index. There's no management. So who's running the fund only matters if you're you're looking at actively managed mutual funds. Then, does the fund charge a commission? We call them loads in our industry. No load funds versus loaded funds. Some funds have a 5% commission up front. Some have 1% commission for 5 years at the end of each year they charge. Do not buy loaded funds, period. There's just as many no load funds or there is loaded funds. Why would you ever even consider buying a loaded fund if you're going to index? That makes no sense. So those are just some basic things that you start to look at. And then you get deeper into the funds. You can always get more information, more and more. There's lots of information. And, you know, a good source of information is Morningstar.com. It's a good source of mutual fund information. It's free. Now, Morningstar provides a lot more information than you get to see for free. But it gets expensive when you start buying the other services they have. But it's a good place to check out mutual funds. There really is. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Bob in San Francisco. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing...
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Okay, I had a couple of questions. You had a REITs when you came on earlier.
Yeah.
I have two. One of them is HCP.
Okay, that's the... yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, and the second is Senior Housing, SNH.
SNH, okay. And
I wondered how you felt about those two. I'm down considerable, but I'm going to hang on. And I think they have potential, but what do you think?
I think they both have very good potential. And Bob has just talked about two of the healthcare REITs that are out there, and two of the bigger ones, and two of the well-run healthcare REITs. HCP REIT that owns and acquires and leases 1,100 healthcare-related facilities. Okay, nursing homes and, you know, limited care places, you know, whatever. Okay, I don't know if they own hospitals. I don't know. But it's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, pays 7.3%. Sales are growing 10, 12%. And earnings are been falling the last couple of years, but still pretty good at $2.82 a share this year and $2.84 next year for a stock that's trading at $31. So you're talking about a REIT that's going to be, right now, as we say, is about a 12 PE. Okay, now if you look backwards, it made $3.17 last year. And so therefore, the PE is down, what, down to 10. But even at 12, it's fairly reasonable. This took a big hit, and then it went down all the way to $26, and for about the last month, it's gone back up to about 32. I think, Bob, you hold on to both of them. Looking at
Thanks a lot.
SNH, just real quick, is Senior Housing REIT. It's a REIT that owns and acquires leases senior housing properties. It's growing in the mid, 15-16% sales. Earnings also got hit a little bit, but not too bad. $1.89 this year and $1.89 next year. I mean, that's actually from $1.85, so it's not too bad. And it's also cheap at 9 PE. So, and it pays a 9.6% dividend. The Senior Housing REIT makes me a little bit nervous because they've issued more stocks, more shares in the last couple of years. I don't like that, but I check that out, make sure they're putting the money to the right purpose. But I like both of them. I think you're fine with both of them, Bob.
Okay,
Appreciate the call.
No, they have a high yield.
Oh yeah. That's why you buy these. You buy those for the yield. You know, as long as they can maintain it, you should be okay. Okay.
Those are in my IRAs, so I'm not too worried about income on those as far as dividends or anything.
Okay, so you don't have to pay any taxes anyway. So yeah, they're good. They're good choices for, but you know, you don't want to load up your portfolio with just two stocks. But they're good choices. Good choices for an income-producing stock portfolio. I kind of like it. You're listening to InvestTalk. Coming up on the next half hour, understanding the index, key to understanding the market. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call right now, 888-992-4278.
Every bit of advice you are willing to share, I very much appreciate.
InvestTalk is here to help.
I really enjoy this show.
And we thank you for listening.
I'm sorry that I can't hear it every day.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast on tomorrow's Invest Talk. If you're too scared to invest in the markets right now, remember there's a plus side to your fears. Fear of investing makes better investors. That's our main talking point on the next Invest Talk, and we hope you'll join us then. We continue with this Thursday, March 10th Invest Talk. InvestTalk is here to encourage you to do the research, study, and analyze before making decisions about your money. We're here to help. The helpline is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Well, the EU, the ECB, not the EU, the ECB, European Central Bank, announced new quantitative easing today, and it really was much bigger than anybody expected. Okay, they have a massive increase in their bond buying from 60 billion euros a month to 80 billion. They cut the rates down to zero or to negative rates for across the whole EU. And there was a couple other things they did besides that, but this was much bigger than anybody expected. It much because, kind of, how do you take that? You take it one of two ways. Either you're thinking, oh, Europe is much worse off than we appear to be, and maybe we should be more worried, or the central bank is serious about trying to kickstart the economy, get it going. I mean, initially the market took it as very positive, but then I'm talking about our market, your market, but our market turned negative within an hour or two. Now, just remind you that QEs are usually very positive for stock prices because all that liquidity goes somewhere and a lot of it goes to the market. But it's not doing, what gets me is I don't understand why the central banks don't understand that it's not working. They've been pushing QE forever. Then more QE, more drive their value of their currency down. Now negative interest rates. They have no idea what that's going to do. I can tell you this, it's going to make banks lose money. And remember, banks are like the lifeblood of the economy. And if you restrict that lifeblood, the economy will start to slow. Well, this is pushing money into the economy, this QEs. They're pushing more money. But at some point, it has a negative effect on bank lending because the banks can't make any money. You want them to lend, but why would they lend at such low rates when they can't make any money? Now, the thinking is, well, you're getting such low rates from the central government to borrow money. You're borrowing money at no cost to you, and then you can go lend it very cheaply. And that's the idea, to try to get the economy going. But the problem is, it's like pushing on a string at some point. You can't push the string. Someone's got to be pulling on the other side. That means demand has to go up on the other side, and we're not producing any demand. And it's not the central bank's fault, by the way, because it's also the fault of the governments not having very good policies or not making policies better for the economy to try to grow. One of the easiest things they could do is lower interest rates, lower taxes. Taxes means that people put more money in their pocket, they generally spend it. That's the idea of lower taxes. Well, no one wants to do that. And so especially here in the United States, we're not seeing any government action. We're in an election year. Nothing's going to happen. So the central banks are pushing, but they can't keep pushing on a string. It won't go. It won't push. It's not working. Notice the only country now not really pushing QE, major country, is the United States. We're not pushing it anymore. We still have very low rates, but they, you know, want to increase the rates, and they did it once in December, and they might do it again maybe in June, depending on the economic numbers. But everybody else lowering rates. That just makes our exports very undesirable because it tends to push up the dollar. Now, what's interesting is the dollar today really got hit when the ECB lowered, made more QE. So our dollar went down because that means their exports are going to be cheaper to us usually because they're trying to drive down the value of their currency, but it drove down the value of our currency. What we're getting is very unusual reactions out there. So that's what happened today. The ECB decided to put more liquidity in the EU, European Union. Don't save your questions. If you have a question that is about the basics, we're here to help you. Whether you're an experienced investor or just a beginner, doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART. Tony in San Diego left his questions on our 24-hour listener line.
Like a show, just wanted to get your opinion on ABC, stock symbol ABC, to see if this is a buying opportunity. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you very much.
Okay, ABC is AmerisourceBergen Corporation, distributes brand name and generic drugs, over-the-counter healthcare products, home health care supplies. I like that it's kind of anti-cyclical, meaning it's not attached to the economic cycle. They will sell brand name generic drugs over-the-counter no matter what the economy is doing. And so what that means is their earnings don't go down as much as a cyclical stock. Still will go down, but not as much. Their earnings have been rising. $4.96 last year per share. $5.79 this year, 17% increase. And then another $6.46 next year, 12% increase. Now, the stock is $86. So it's not necessarily cheap, but neither is it expensive. Sales are slowly coming down to 10% or so per quarter growth. That's not too bad. My biggest little red flag here is they have a lot of debt. And I would want to know why. See, I'm thinking, my thinking is corporate profits are being ratcheted down for the whole market right now. And it's been three quarters in a row where it's been coming down. So companies carrying debt is a danger signal, a red flag. Because if earnings are going to go down, and this one is not, they're going up. But if the overall market earnings are going to go down, that means the market might be pulled down, and this will go down with it. Don't think just because you can buck the trend with your earnings and sales doesn't mean you won't go down with the market. Now, the question is, he says, is it a buy now? Because this stock was a lot higher, $112, $115 a year ago, and now it's at $87. Okay, and now it's reasonably priced. It's not cheap. It's reasonably priced. So I don't know. I think I'd be patient. One thing I would look at is the debt. If you can give me a good reason why it's carrying that much debt, then I'm okay. If it like bought a competitor maybe and they borrowed the money to do so and the net result is positive cash coming into the door, I don't know. I don't know. I want to know why they have that huge debt. Now, are they able to carry the debt? Probably, yeah. But still is a concern of mine. And I'm not, as you heard me before, I've been saying pound the desk, even when the market's going up, I say I'm not real anxious and to buy stocks. We bought some stocks. I don't think I'm not buying, but there's no big rush, to put all the money to work. No, not that. I don't see that. It's time for InvestTalk 101. We talk about the market as if it were a thing, right? In reality, the market consists of many indexes, of thousands of shares, different companies, different kinds of companies, everything, everywhere. And those indexes, you kind of have to understand what they track. What is an index? You always hear, well, the Dow did this, or the S&P did that. What does that mean? The Dow Jones Industrials, one reason they keep quoting the Dow Jones is because it's the oldest index that there is. and it includes 30 stocks, 30 of the largest and most influential companies in the United States, allegedly. That's what it's designed to do. But it's only 30 companies out of thousands. Now, it is also known as a price-weighted index. So the price of the stock in the index is important. It changes the index. You know, so that's what the Dow is. The S&P 500 index is much larger. It's the 500 most widely traded stocks. And it represents about 70% of the total market value of U.S. stock market. So it represents 70%. And I think the Dow only represents about 20%. So what would be a better index to follow? Well, if you want to just watch the big giant companies, you track the Dow Jones. If you want to watch the large, broader market, it'd be S&P 500. And then there's the NASDAQ. And most people think of the NASDAQ as the technology stocks, even though there's non-technology stocks in the NASDAQ index. But it is a composite index of market capitalization weighted index of all stocks traded on the NASDAQ stock exchange. All stocks on the NASDAQ. Now the NASDAQ is smaller than the New York Stock Exchange. So you can see it gets more. What about the Russell 2000, the Russell 5000? What about S&P? Yeah, there's different indexes for almost anything. Now, so these benchmarks you can use to benchmark your portfolio, but make sure you pick the right one, the one that most reflects the kinds of stocks that you own. Okay? And if you have a combination of bonds and stocks, none of these index will track you. You shouldn't track these index with your stock and bond portfolio because the bonds will act differently than stocks, and that will weight it one way or another. That's the Invest Talk 101. Do you have a money topic you want to know more about? Send me a note. Go to contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Did you know that when you roll over your 401k, after-tax contributions can only be rolled into an IRA or a retirement plan that keeps track of the taxable and non-taxable parts? Maybe you better talk to a 401k rollover expert at KPP Financial. They'll help you make the best possible choices for your situation. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin and type 401k rollover on investtalk.com.
Yes, I'm interested in Boston Scientific Corporation. The symbol is BSX. I'd like to know if it is a good buy. It looks good on paper.
Okay, a BSX, Boston Scientific Corporation, similar to ABC, AmerisourceBergen. This one, Boston Scientific, develops medical devices used in cardiology, endoscopy. So it doesn't sell any drugs, but it's in the same category of medical products or the medical side of things. This one, I think it looks, this one's earnings and sales are not as strong as ABC, but it's in a different part of the drug industry. And again, it's non-cyclical, not drug industry, but medical industry. It's non-cyclical, meaning, as I said, in an economic slump, this won't necessarily lose, you know, sales don't go down. Sales are growing 13% this year. Earnings are growing 13% this year and 13% next year. It's going to make $1.19 next year. The P.E. ratio is 19 right now, but it's a $17.48 stock with going to make $1.19 next year. So that means it's selling at right around 15 P.E. Now, the five-year average is 7 to 22, so that's not low. It's not expensive either. Okay, return on equity is good at 20%, but sales are only in the single digits. You know, sales growth is only in the single digits, 5%, maybe sometimes 2, 3%. Very big company. So the question, is it worth the buy now? Is it something to buy? Well, it's like ABC. It's a decent value right now. I think that it can go down. If the market goes down, it'll drop with it. But if you look at it, you'll see it didn't drop nearly as much as the market. It did not drop nearly as much as the market did. So I think it's holding up, and it looks like a double, triple bottom and bounced right around $16, $17, and here it is at $17.79. So it's a good. I would be more favorable buying it now, but I don't know if I'd buy the whole thing again. You know, we're moving. What are we? We're in March now, April, May, June. We're moving into the time part of the year. May, it gets pretty difficult. The market generally has a pull down some kind sometime between May and October. I mean, it's very common. I think we're going to see that again this year. So I wouldn't, again, be anxious to buy anything. Just be very cautious. But it's a good, solid company. Doesn't pay a dividend. I wish it would. I mean, it's a $23 billion stock. You would think it would pay a dividend, but it doesn't. What are the technicals telling us about what's going on in the marketplace? So if you look at the technicals, meaning the charts of the indexes, you'll see that none of them have recouped their losses made this year so far. The S&P is probably the closest. Let's take a quick look at the Dow. And what does that tell you? What that's telling you is that we're still weak. The market is still very weak for the year. So I'm not overly anxious that we're thinking, okay, we're back in a bull market phase, even though the market has done pretty well for the last few weeks. Technicals are telling you, it's like if you have a stoplight, you got yellow, green, and red, right? Green would be bull, you get in the market. Red would be get out of the market. We're probably at yellow at this point. I can't tell you on a technical basis they're at yellow. Fundamentally, we're between yellow and red. The fundamentals, meaning the earnings growth, sales growth of corporations, they're not doing that good. The experts are downgrading earnings. And the experts are usually wrong. They want to pump up the stock market. They always want to act like it's great. And they're downgrading the earnings. They don't want to downgrade the earnings, but they're kind of forced to because that's what's happening. Earnings are getting difficult, more difficult for corporations to make money. So it's not like they're losing money. They're just making less than they did a quarter ago or the quarter before that. And so fundamentals and technicals, neither one are pointing to a green light. And I think that's why you hear me talking caution at this point. Doesn't mean you don't buy stocks. I bought one a couple days ago. You know, it doesn't mean. It's just that you don't get too overly anxious in putting all the money to work. And certainly don't be afraid to take some profits on something. Don't be afraid of that either. Our anytime number on InvestTalk is 888-99-CHART, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might want to ask, as long as they're financial. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART or 888-992-4278. Give me a call. Okay, let's go to Arias in San Diego. How are you doing, Arias? How's it going out down there in San Diego?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I was raised there. I think I told you I was raised there in Chula Vista, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Quick question, Steve. It's something I'm kind of perplexed about. When the job reports that come out, mm-hmm. Now, President Obama has been, talking up his economy and say mm-hmm. that we're mm-hmm. we're back on track, but mm-hmm. most people don't feel it for some reason.
Correct.
They don't feel a part of it. So when we have these job numbers that come out and the economy is only growing no more than about 2.5, I think for Obama, for the last 8 years he's been in office, I don't think we got over 2.5%.
No, it's averaged since he's been in the office. I just saw that this morning, about 2% GDP growth a year. So okay. That's been our average for the 8 years.
So where are all these jobs coming from if we're not growing?
Well, we are growing a little bit. Okay, we're not growing. It's just we're not growing very fast. I mean, if it was a normal economic recovery, we would be at 3 to 3.5%. Okay, but it wasn't normal. It's not normal. It had never been normal. And the jobs number is kind of misleading because the government, and don't misunderstand me, Arias. It is 5% unemployment rate. The way they count it, they've been counting it that way for years. They made a change about 10, 15 years ago. That's about right. But a better way to look at it is the labor participation rate. See, Aris, when you drop out looking for a job, let's say you don't look for a job anymore and you run out of benefits, you're not counted as unemployed anymore. They don't count you.
Correct.
Okay, so even though we're producing $200,000 a job, the unemployment rate's not really falling anymore because more people are coming back into the labor market because there's jobs available now. Okay, so they count them. I like
you. You know what, Steve?
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, I heard that if you use the U6 number as opposed to U3 number, the unemployment would be higher than what it is.
Yeah, it's. I think the U6 number, I think it's U6. I think it's about 10 to 12% unemployment rate.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and so the jobs they count part-time jobs too.
That's
know?
True.
So it's kind of... People are not feeling, and plus they're not getting wage raises. They're not, they're just a little bit. I mean, this is this last year was the first year that they've had even a decent raise of what, 2%?
Well, yes, that's what I read.
And before that, they were getting hardly anything. Yeah, so they're not part of the, this quote unquote recovery. They, meaning you and me, the average person, we're not part of it. Even though you know, the economy's growing, we don't feel wealthier, we don't feel better off. And I think that's what you're seeing. And it depends on what side of the political spectrum you're on. The Democrats are going to point to how good things are, and the Republicans are going to point to how bad things are. And they both have a point. I'm not going to badmouth either side. They both have a point. You know, so.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Steve, it's just politics as usual.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't
that I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Aris. I appreciate it. Yeah, politics as usual. Even with, you know, unconventional... Trump being in there. He's unconventional, but it's still politics as usual. Where to retire? Remember, I've had various lists and told you where the cheapest place to retire is, where they have the best medical, what cities have the best this, that, and all. The facts are, most people, when they retire, stay exactly where they are. They don't retire to someplace else. Only about 5% move from where they live to some other new place. So when you think about retirement, think about you're going to probably stay where you are. Okay, and most of the time, and I meet with a lot of people, most, you know, in closing or in retirement, almost everybody wants to stay near family. Very common and very understandable. I want to. So those are the two main factors. When you're talking about retirement, you're not going to move because you're comfortable where you are, you know where everything is, and you're not going to move because family is there. If the family moves away, you might move. Less important things, taxes, healthcare, crime, those are much less important than those two factors I just gave you. Our time is up. A reminder, if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, our firm, I want to thank you for listening today. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.